Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, boys and girls across this great country. We're back. Technical problems last week pushed back in the rearview mirror. It's the Gross Misconduct Podcast, hosted by my brother, a mentor, and a friend, Kip Gross. We'll find out where he is. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. No partial eclipse here. He had to be in those 15 states to get a hold of that thing. So we'll talk about that and a whole host of other things. 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, realize 30 goes by quick. Within the next 2 weeks, we're going an hour. So that is going to be great. You wanted it, we'll give it to you. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Kip, the threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And, man, there's a lot to talk about.
Mark, I'm doing great. You know, it's a good day. I'm actually in Southern California right now. The weather's fantastic today. It's been the best since I've been here for about a week. And kipgross.com is how you get a hold of me, and beagamer@gmail.com. And, yeah, there's a ton going on right now. Baseball's good. You know, everything's happening right now. So good starts with some of the clubs out there. And I think we got Augusta National at the Masters coming up soon. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, let's get into, you know, the XM threw out the world's worst handicapper. But you know what? When the dust cleared, I was sitting on the top of the ESPN standings with this thing in the pool. I had UConn to win the national championship. Boy, those kids from Purdue, they're corn-fed kids. But UConn, back-to-back champs, first time since Florida did it. And before that, Duke did it in the 90s. So I don't know if you got an eye on that one last night, but another double-digit win for the UConn Huskies.
Yeah, you know what? They're just so much better than everybody. They got a great program. They've done it for a long, long time now. And you go through waves in all the sports, and right now UConn is just on top of the world, and you can't beat them. They've been that way for 2 years, so you can't deny them what they did, and congratulations to them.
Yeah, and that was unbelievable. To see them take that. Hey, also, a couple other things yesterday, the total eclipse, totality, whatever you want to call it. Boy, there's some fools that drive miles and miles and airfare and everything to go see this thing. Any luck on your end?
No luck whatsoever, but I did have a couple friends that actually drove a few hours, and they went to see it. It was completely clouded up, so they didn't get to see anything because it was so overcast and cloudy. And that's the thing with this whole eclipse thing. You know, you'd go, and I mean, some of these hotel rooms, I guess, were like seven times the price of normal what they are. They're just gouging people because of what's going on, and you just don't know what's going to be above you with the weather. So, you know, I don't feel sorry for him, but at the same time, hey, you knew the position you're in going there. But, you know, I did see some pictures of it and some videos of it, which is really cool. But at the same time, you know, when I was younger, we got to, you know, get pinholed through it. And we saw some eclipses back then. But, you know, I'm a little overgrown to all that stuff now. And it just doesn't really get to me having to see that stuff anymore. But, some people, that's what they want to do. It's what they want to see. So go do it and have fun. And hopefully you get to see it without any cloud cover.
Yeah, and also yesterday, the anniversary, 50 years ago, Hank Aaron, man, hit the home run. Gosh almighty, can you imagine 50 years ago? Boy, I'm giving away my age at 62, man. That is something. I remember that, and you know what? I will tell you that, watching that, Mets and Braves a little, The Braves definitely got to go back to those 74 unis, man, with the whites and stuff, with the tomahawks on the sides. They got to go back to that. That's a classic look. I don't know if you remember that one, but, man, oh, man. You see a lot of teams turning back the clock. The Braves should turn back the clock to start wearing those as home unis.
You know, Mark, I growing up in Western Nebraska, we only had a few channels, so, you know, the Braves was one of them. And so we had to watch the Braves. Them and the Cubs were the two biggest ones. So, yeah, I remember the Braves all the time. I mean, that was the biggest thing you could watch. And, And I'm with you on the unis. I just think, you know, like the Dodgers, the Boston Red Sox, you know, they've had the same iconic uniforms forever and ever. And by the way, I do want to throw one out there that I'm really not a fan of the new Nike uniforms that Major League Baseball is using this year with the little small letters on the back. You know, when you're a big leaguer, you're in the major leagues, man, it should stand out. That name should stand out back there so everybody can see it, so you'd be proud of who you are and what you are. You know, I know some of them don't have anything like the Yankees, and they're just iconic for that, but they never change their uniforms. And you know, they have their little things once in a while, okay, so they, you know, for the fans to come in and grab a free day for a little uniform or something. But, yeah, the old Braves uniform, you know, that was back, you know, way back when. But, yeah, the Hank Aaron thing, I believe they were playing the Dodgers at that time. And I remember Mark Cressy telling me, you know, he was the bullpen coach at that time. It was really, really cool for that to come in the bullpen. And, some of those moments, Mark, are just the standout time. I mean, how many times have you seen that home run where Hank Aaron hits that into the bullpen, you know, for all the World Series and all the different sports and things happening out there? It keeps happening over and over again. You know, just like Reggie Jackson hitting the 3 home runs in the World Series.
Yeah.
You know, the third one is off a good buddy of mine, Charlie Huff. And I, every year during the World Series comes around, they show that. Every year during the World Series, I got to call Charlie and say, hey, I just saw you get on TV from way back when. And, you know, he loves it because he was a part of that whole thing. And that's the same way with Hank Aaron. You know, if anybody's a part of it, good for them. Good for them. I think it's really cool and iconic to see that.
Let me get to some of these guys coming in here. Victor from Silver Lake, our friend. You know, he basically says, guys, I'm relaxing, having a great time, listening to this crap show, what you guys talking about, what you're doing. Meanwhile, my Dodgers are 9-4, and we're blowing out our division. Vic, how many times have I seen this? This reminds me, and I got a buddy that's a New York Ranger fan, and we know what a friend down there in Pensacola, Florida, Kip, with the Cowboys. Every year these guys keep chewing and spooing at the mouth when the season starts and telling us what they're going to do and how good they're going to be and everything, and then all of a sudden, come October, there's a bunch of crickets running around their house. I don't know what's going on in Dallas. I don't know what's going on in New York with the Rangers, and I don't know what's going on in Hollywood with these Dodgers, but who cares if you win the division again? Vic, any guys, funny as hell.
You know, Vic, you know, we've gone over this before. It's Groundhog's Day all over again. You know, they're going to start out great. They've got, you know, they got the talent. They have the talent. They keep buying players. They got Ohtani now. They got the other kid, Yamamoto, whatever his name is, from Japan, and you know, we're going to see what happens again. But, you know, when you spend that kind of money for a team, I honestly, I've said this for years and years and years, I would be embarrassed not to win the whole World Series when you spend that kind of money every year and go after all the top players. But it, for one reason, I keep saying to the same thing, there's one thing that's been there for all these years when they don't win. And what is that? The manager. And like I said, he's a great guy. There's no question about it. Robert's a great guy. But there's something going on. Quit buying the players. Get you a new manager. Roll it a different way. Get away from the analytics. Play baseball and play it the old school way, back when Jackie Robinson played. And I guarantee you guys will have a lot better success over through the year when you get to the playoffs. I promise you will.
I got a brain fart, and I can't remember the song, What Killed the Radio, but I'll tell you what killed the Dodgers. Analytics has definitely killed the Dodgers. But there was a song, I'm trying to think, Kip, and maybe one of these guys that are listening can fill me in, but something killed the radio. I remember that. Gosh, I can't think of the top of the song on that one. But I will tell you this, analytics has killed the Dodgers. I don't care what anybody says, but when I look at analytics, they're a very analytical team, and it just seems that it's killed the Dodgers over the last few years, and they will not get away from the analytics for some unknown reason. They think the analytics is going to get them to the promised land, and I will tell you, there's more than analytics to get you to the promised land, and analytics is not the sole thing. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's not at all. I mean, you know, when you play baseball since you were 7 years old and been in the game as long as I was and still am and talk the game and see the game and what's going on, you know, it's all about playing the game properly and playing the game right and fundamental baseball. And I'll tell you, Mark, one of the things I've talked about this before, and I'll bring it up again, though, you know, it's a good buddy of mine who played in the big leagues as a catcher for a few years with Philadelphia. You know, he called me a couple weeks ago. He was in Reno and he was watching the AAA game. And he called me, he says, "Kip, I can't believe what I'm watching on the field." And I said, "Is it good or is it bad?" He says, it's not baseball anymore. You know, he said, the fundamentals are bad. The outfielders are hitting the ball the wrong way. They're flat-footed. You know, the catchers are on their knees. And, you know, there's wild pitches, pass balls, all this stuff, because analytics is telling these people to do it. But it's right in front of your eyes. And, yeah, like I said, the Dodgers have the talent. There's not a question about it. But when you go out there and you ruin these arms, these great arms that these guys have in the bullpen day after day after day, and just say, "Hey, go throw as hard as you can, as long as you can, and we'll take you out when we think the analytics tell you to take you out." I got news for everybody. Your arm and your body isn't built that way. And so by the end of the season and you get to the playoffs, they're spent, they're done. And then a lot of these guys have to have the Tommy John surgery because they go all out. And I got news for you. That Tommy John, you can only do one and maybe two and it's over with. But the way the game is now, you know, they have all these kids that throw so damn hard in the minor leagues. Hey, if one gets hurt, we'll just bring up another one and abuse him until he gets hurt, and then we'll bring up another one. And I think I told you a good buddy of mine who's a really, really high instructor in the big leagues with one of the top clubs out there, he flat out told me, he says, "That's what we do. That's what we do in this organization, is we just make arms and let them throw as hard as they can. When one gets hurt, we just set him down, put him on the DL, bring another one up and see how it goes." And that's what I'm talking about. That's analytics is killing the game. And another thing, I've said it since day one since it came out, the number one thing that's killed the game of baseball is the invention of the radar gun for baseball, because that's all people want to do now is throw as hard as they can. And it's not how you pitch. You got to learn how to pitch. And if you don't have good mechanics, you're never going to be good in the first place to learn how to pitch, because your ball is going to be all over the place. You're not going to be able to throw strikes the way you want to. And if you look at the game today, that's what's happening. They just throw it. Who knows where it's going? The catcher's never where they're supposed to be for the four and five starters. Then you get the guys out of the bullpen. It's like, where's this ball going? They don't have a clue, but they keep doing it, and they keep getting hurt. And the analytics, just like we've said, is killing the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, Dalen coming in from Chelmsford, Mass., said, "Boy, there's some hot teams here. Maybe Vic's drinking too much. You guys have called him and put him in his spot. My Red Sox got beat today. And what's going on in Pittsburgh? I saw a little bit of the game today. They booed your closer. Isn't he the pride of Pittsburgh? Off the mound, David Bednar. And, you know, Kip, you've pitched in the big leagues. Boy, you can go from the penthouse to the outhouse real quick, but when you're a hometown kid and you get booed in your own backyard, that's kind of tough to take, I would think.
Oh, it's tough, but you know, when you're in the game, Mark, and you know, when you're outside coming in, getting in the game, yeah, you can hear all that stuff, all the nonsense with all the fans doing what they're doing. But when you're in the game, it's adrenaline time, and you don't hear the fans. It's just one of those things, you know. Way back, I don't know if you remember this. Way back when Joe McGrain. He was a starter for the St. Louis Cardinals way back when they got the World Series, and he could hear all that stuff. And if you remember, he actually put in earplugs during the World Series when he was pitching. And I thought it was the worst thing he could possibly do, because if people know those earplugs are in there, they're already inside your head to begin with. And so I always thought that was kind of strange for him to do that. But you know what, guys? When you got a Pittsburgh Pirates team starting out 9-3 and with the salaries they pay and their payroll, I got to tell you, I root for those teams over and over and over again, because they're taking the least amount they can get and winning with it. And like we said earlier in the pregame, you know, baseball is just like the Masters coming up this week. You know, you can sure as hell, you can't win the whole thing on Thursday, but you sure as hell can lose it on Thursday. And right now the Pittsburgh Pirates are putting themselves in a great position, just like some other good teams are. And, you know, it when you get out of the lead by 5, 6, 7, 8 games, it's really tough to get back into that, because you've got four or five teams in front of you to get back in your division. And it's just not easy to do. So the better start you are, I'm proud of your Pirates right now. I really am, Mark. I think what they're doing is incredible, and I hope they keep it up for the rest of the season and take it somewhere.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, I can't help but think of the Cody Rhodes story of the WWE. He stopped the streak of Roman Reigns the other day in WrestleMania in Philly. But, you know, and here's a kid that, you know, took his lumps, took his, you know, bruises, and, you know, never gave up on what he thought he can become. And, you know, being a Pirate guy and being a Pittsburgh boy, I mean, you take your lumps, you hear it across the league, and this team sucks, and this team hasn't done nothing. But as you see, sending you that Pirate show each and every week I do with them two, just as the one I do with you here on the week, is you find out the people that criticize things are never in that locker room with these guys. They're never on the field. Maybe they haven't even been a baseball player. But, man, oh, man, are they quick to criticize. And maybe they're the type of guys – I remember I think I told you this story before, and I told Tarek the other day. Was working out in the gym. A guy was wearing a Brave hat, and I was telling him about Glavin and Maddox and everything, and the guy looked at me, and he goes, huh? And I said – probably was home with his wife in the morning, having a breakfast, thought before he came to the gym, he'd stop at the local sports goods joint, buy a Braves hat because they're in first place. So what you have is you have a lot of bandwagoners that follow their teams, that don't know anything about the team, but they look at the standings and they look at who's in first, who's in last. Well, the team that is in last must suck, but they don't know what that team is going through or what they have building blocks for. Am I right or wrong?
You're 100% correct, and that is it. We were just talking about earlier. You know, baseball is about streaks. You know, you got hot hitters and you got cold hitters. You got hot pitchers, you got cold pitchers, and right now, you know, the best thing you can have to start out the season is have everybody hot to get to that hot streak and get on with it and win those games and have a hot streak. Just like in '90, you know, with Cincinnati Reds start out 9-0. And
yeah.
First time and only time it's ever happened in Cincinnati's history. And next thing you know, wire to wire, win the World Series. With a sweep, and that's the same with baseball. It's just how it works. You know, good swings breed good swings, and when you're seeing the guy in front of you, a couple guys in front of you in the lineup swinging it good, it gives you confidence because they're swinging it good. So now you're seeing good things happen. So that confidence keeps building all the way through. And there's one thing, Mark, that I'd really like to emphasize about this. The one thing that people don't ever think about very much is. During the off season, these teams bring in these players, and it either helps the chemistry or it hurts the chemistry in that clubhouse. And so you just don't know what you're always getting into, and so it's a really tough thing. Just like Ohtani, you know, going to the Dodgers, you know, is it good chemistry? Is it bad chemistry? One thing I've always said, if you can't speak to somebody, you don't know the language, it's hard to have bad chemistry. But at the same time, when you're making $700 million and the next guy next to you is making, you know, chump change of a rookie salary and been in the big leagues or another guy's in the big leagues for 7, 8, 9 years and he's only making so much, you kind of look at these guys like why? Why are you making this money? You're not even a pitcher this year, but they're doing
right.
It. You just never know about that chemistry of what these guys, the free agents, are bringing in. And like I said, it can be good, it can be bad, and disrupt the whole thing. You know, in 1990, that chemistry in that clubhouse was so incredible. It was crazy. Every time one had a win, you know, they brought in the song Can't Dance It in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
The next year comes around, there's a couple players on the team. Is like they wanted paid now. And so they were just the opposite of how they were the year before. And look at the 1991 Reds. It just didn't happen. It wasn't even close because there was now selfish players saying, I need to be paid. And first and foremost, I've always said it, winning breeds contracts. If you win, you're going to get a good contract. Somebody's going to keep you around. And it's just always been that way. So yeah, you're right about all that.
Yeah, let me bring in Albert from Poway. He says, guys, I can't get enough of your show. I missed you last week. Archive versions are good, but nothing like the live versions. I wanted to talk about Julio Urias. He was charged with 5 misdemeanors today in the wake of his September arrest on the felony domestic violence. Here's a guy that really has fallen off. I mean, he's like 27 years old, I believe. He's got, you know, Jeopardy. I mean, he blew a $200 million contract, before this incident. Now it seems like he could be the first guy suspended twice by Major League Baseball. But yet, and here comes the yet, I heard you guys talk about Shohei Ohtani, and I haven't heard anything more about Shohei Ohtani. So do we have a double standard here? Wow, does this guy bring up an interesting thing?
You know, the Urias thing is really, I mean, it's just really hard to take because, you know, I actually watched him pitch when he's kind of in the minor leagues in A-ball because he was like 15 minutes away from me where I used to live in Southern California. And we go down there and watch this kid pitch, and it was just a – you already knew it was a different level. I mean, you knew this kid didn't belong there, but they had to keep him because he was so young. You know, you had to still, you know, groom him a little bit to get there. And then to go and do the things that these guys are doing, it just – you know, he did what he did. He's going to have to pay the price for it. And unfortunately, his whole family's going to have to pay for it because he's going to lose that whole contract of what he had. And it just really sucks is what it does because it just puts a black eye on baseball altogether because people say, well, baseball players, you know, they're this, they're that, you know, they think they're all that. They beat up women and whatever. And it's just, you know, you're going to have bad apples in any occupation you have. It doesn't matter, everybody. Every occupation, there's a bad apple or some out there. And unfortunately, well, I should say fortunately he did get caught because hopefully it'll stop because that stuff shouldn't even be anywhere in this world anywhere. But, you know, the Shohei Ohtani, he's a great guy. He's a great guy. But did he do what he did or did he gamble or didn't he gamble? And hopefully they get this out sooner or later to figure out what's going on. But I think they're going to drag it out as long as humanly possible because you're like taking Michael Jordan out of basketball when he was back with the Bulls. Because that's who Shohei Ohtani is right now at the Major League Baseball. Hopefully, it comes out that he didn't do it. But I got news for you, man. When you're missing $4.5 million out of your bank account, how do you say he stole this for me, or I just didn't know what was happening? Something's going on there. I don't know what it is, but hopefully, it comes out. He's gonna.
Well, Brad coming in from Modesto, first time listener, says, guys, I've heard you through friends. You guys have something going. I can't wait for the hour. Keep up the good work and. I'm thinking Ohtani is basically pretending he doesn't know what the hell's going on because that's a clear-cut message that baseball is shielding the number one player of the game in today's sport. I definitely got to agree with Brad. I think there's something there that the Dodgers are basically just kind of shoving under the rug because they got a whole contingent of Japanese fan bases coming in there and everything, so... You know, you start to rock this boat, you're going to lose a whole community. And you see it on the road. There was a game yesterday in Minnesota, Japanese people following the team around and everything. They're coming out in droves wherever this guy goes. I just think it's just one of those things, like if they can put a little Band-Aid on the situation and don't address the elephant in the room, maybe it'll go away on its own. You know, I don't know. I think if you're gonna hush this up, then you better get the bugles out and everything and make sure Pete Rose gets elected in the Hall of Fame.
You know, Mark, there's something going on because, you just don't hear about it. It's just like, okay, what happened with the Ohtani thing? And you're not hearing about it. And it's one of those things where they've got to come out. And, you know, the FBI is investigating first and foremost. So sooner or later, you know, going to the illegal bookie and going through that, somebody's going to start talking because I promise you that bookie – Ohtani wasn't the only, or his interpreter wasn't the only client he had and better that he had. So I'm sure he's talked to other people saying, yeah, he should see who I have betting with me, you know. And so sooner or later, something's going to come out. But I'm with you on this. They're just keeping it quiet as quiet gets right now. You know, last year my girlfriend and I, we went to a game in Anaheim to watch the Angels in September, and Ohtani wasn't even playing. He was hurt. And I can promise you right now, two-thirds of the stadium was Asians in the stadium that day, and he wasn't even playing. They pretty much put him on the shelf. Everywhere you walked, there was Ohtani jerseys, one after another, everywhere. And now he's with the Dodgers. You know, he's going to get the same amount of treatment. You know, I'm going to go to Cincinnati next month for an autograph session, and they already, when Ohtani signed with the Dodgers, they raised those tickets from the Dodgers from $60 to $400 in the same seats out bleachers. 60 to 400, just like that overnight, he's having on the game. So what do you do as Major League Baseball? What do? Do you sweep it under the rug and just say, let's hold on this as long as possible? Or do we come out and say, you know, Michael Jordan, he was a little bit of a gambler, but he wasn't gambling on basketball. I got news for everybody. In baseball, there's that sign when you walk in that clubhouse. The first thing you see every time you open that door to that clubhouse is that sign up there saying, if you bet on baseball, you're going to get Pete Rose. And that's, you know, I hope it doesn't happen, but you know, I'm with you on the Pete Rose thing. You know, I'm not a fan of what he did, and I think he should be suspended for life. But the only thing is, if they do it with Ohtani, they got to let Pete in too, because that's just a double standard, shouldn't be right.
Yeah, if you like somebody, you're going to create gray areas. If you don't like somebody, you're going to make sure there is not a gray area. I can, you know, figure this thing out. We're up there where we can honestly figure this whole thing out. Let me bring in Steve for Corvallis as we wind this thing down into 5 minutes. The Oakland A's, looks like their last year here, and then they're going to West Sacramento before they go to Vegas. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Steve. I'll be there in July. The Orioles come through there a couple day games, so I'm going to get out there in July, see the Orioles and A's. Last year at that stadium, man, oh, man, I've been on the outside of that thing, and I know you've been there, Kip and everything. It just seems like they just got to bulldoze the whole damn thing down and put up a new stadium and keep it in Oakland, but it's not going to happen. They're going to Vegas, and who knows what the bandbox is going to look like in Sacramento.
You know, it's you know, they've won three games this year already, and it, you know, to me, with what they have to work with, I mean, baseball's baseball. You know, you're going to run into a pitcher, and he's going to kick your ass that day, and that's kind of what's going on with them. But you know what? I actually think they're going to draw better in the AAA stadium they do in Oakland. And but I will say this: they're going to do a little Oakland Raiders thing. They're going to get to Vegas, and you're not going to be able to get a ticket. I really believe that, because they're going to have all the money in the world. You know, all the hotels are going to buy up the tickets and all the clients and stuff. They're going to go to the games constantly, and I'm actually happy for them, because there's no major league team that should be playing in that stadium that they're playing in right now in Oakland. You know, I've been there numerous times.
Yeah.
And it's like, where is this? What is this? Why is it? You know, it's not in a good part of town, and the stadium is just so run down, and they've tried to improve different things here and there, but you just can't, you know, you just can't put lipstick on a pig and expect it to be something. And that's
yeah,
kind of what that whole thing is with Oakland right now. But I do, I'm really happy for them moving to Vegas. I am. I know a lot of people aren't, because they've had their lifelong fans in Oakland. But you know what? Some teams just thrive somewhere else. And if you're not going to get it done in Oakland, might as well move on as an owner. So I'm happy for them.
Yeah, the area and everything, you're right, gone to hell in a handbasket. And as we wind the last 2 minutes, I can't wait, man, for football to start, too, as we get into the bait. We were already in the baseball, but the draft is coming up. I know we'll be talking about your Raiders, my Steelers. We got rid of three quarterbacks, brought in two, with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And we get it looks like Jefferson's in there in the fold from Minnesota as a wide receiver. We got some targets. The Steelers are all in. They've put their chips to the center of the table. We'll see what the Raiders do with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. I'm excited for my Raiders. There's no doubt about it. But I'm telling you right now, Russell Wilson, I think he can make the Pittsburgh Steelers a contender. I really do.
Yeah.
There's no way that he was the same guy in Denver. And it just, you know, it's one of those things where if you don't have the cast around you, it's not going to work. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you're Elway. I don't care if you're whoever, you know, the greatest quarterback ever. It you know, the Mannings and all that. It doesn't work. If you don't have receivers, you can't throw the ball. If you don't have somebody protecting you, you can't throw the ball on your back. And so I'm excited to see what the Steelers do. I really am. I think it's a great trade. $1.5 million they got to pay him, and the Broncos are stuck with the rest. It's almost like thievery in the NFL. But you know what? Sooner or later, you got to roll the dice and do your thing. But for $1.5 million, that's like paying what your clubhouse guys and your you know some other guys for your salary. And so that's all they got to pay the guy. They might turn out to be absolutely awesome. And I really do hope so, because the Steelers deserve it. And I've always, you know, I've always been a Steelers fan. They're the blue collar team out there.
Yeah.
So I've been a fan of the Steelers too. So I hope good luck, good things happen to them.
Well, that's going to be good. And also, when we reconvene next week, as you get ready to go to Cincinnati, yeah, that's going to be a nice thing. And do your autograph session and stuff. Boy, as we pick up steam here, this show is just unbelievable. I can't wait. In a couple of weeks, we'll go an hour here, blow this right out of the territory, get the listeners involved more as far as, wow, they get more of us on a drive home and wherever they are. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. And, man, oh, man, I'm feeling giddy, but at the same time, I'm feeling a little greedy because the darn Pirates, I was wishing they'd be 10-2. Darn it. David Bednar, that's okay. It's a long year. You're gonna have these games, but sometimes you get a little taste of winning, man. You just don't want to let loose of it.
Well, Mark, you know, I've never heard of a major league team going undefeated during the season.
Yep.
So when you start the season like they started, I'm really proud of them and what they've done. Again, blue-collar team out there, very little salaries out there, payroll. So I'm happy for them. Guys, you can get a hold of me at kipgross.com or beagamer@gmail.net. And, you know, this gets more and more fun all the time. I hate it when we got to miss it a week or two in between because of technical difficulties. But at the same time, you know, let's get after it, have some more fun, and can't wait for the hour one to start too.
Yes, he's Kip Gross. Here's truly Mark Mancini. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week, same time, same channel. We'll be a week away from our 1 hour show. Till then, have a blessed one, and God bless. Stay safe. Good night, everybody. Thanks, Kip.
You got it. Have a great one, guys.
You too.